With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Give it to me!
Hey, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where for over 30 years or something close to that, we've been handcrafting authentic podcasts and things with balance, complexity, and a passion for sustainable recording practices. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, we've taken the lessons from the podcast masters of the 20s all the way through to the 21st century and beyond. So
you too can buy your very own personal cask of It's a Thing podcasts, which will tap just for you on demand.
Yeah. The secrets of the French masters that originated It's a Thing are still carried out today in our hand-me-down artisanal tradition.
Welcome to It's a Thing. If you missed last week's show, you don't know what we're talking about vis-a-vis the special cask, but believe me, I'm still considering it.
Yeah, we did get, I think we got feedback. We got feedback.
We got feedback on that. Yeah, we'll get there.
Spoilers.
We'll get there.
Tease ahead, though. We got feedback on the barrels and alternatives to the barrels. But first, would you like a crocheted balaclava, Molly? Can I interest you in a crocheted balaclava?
I mean, I'm not even sure what to say here. Like, if I want to rob a craft store, I would wear a crocheted balaclava.
I'll never know. It's me. Apparently.
Ooh, what now?
Balenciaga, Kim Kardashian, you know them, you love them, are making the balaclava super trendy again. And many people have decided to crochet them.
Oh, my goodness. We should say, by the way, for those who don't know, a balaclava is basically a hood. It is a face mask, like you wear them to rob banks and or skiing.
Or to be criticized for trying to wear a mask that is ineffective and merely aerosolizes your spit.
Exactly. And does nothing to protect you whatsoever. Afi James, yes, it is a wannabe ninja mask, basically. But yeah. Now, evidently, it's gone full freaking cutesy.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of them aren't full face covering. Some of them are just bulky headscarves is kind of how I'd say it. That seems to be the more common trendy one where it doesn't cover the face. It just covers all the hair and the sides of the cheek and the chin. But you go look up balaclava on Etsy. You're going to find some delicious crochet patterns out there.
I mean, it does. And we're all thinking balaclava. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Wow. I like the one with the
take
little
off devil. Your balaclava before eating baklava, or you'll get it all over.
Because there will be honey all. Wow. These really are. There are many of them. There are like ones with little horns. I mean, I will say in 2022, and I don't know when I think I'm going to do this, but I really do want to learn to crochet because, as you guys well know, I'm a knitter, which is fun and I love it. And it's very soothing and keeps you from looking at your phone, but it's crochet is like so much faster and you can do so many more neat things like patterns and little shapes and stuff that I kind of want to give it a try.
Is there any kind of beef between the crocheters and the knitters that you would risk engendering?
I mean, I've seen sides? Some pretty bad fights. Like there's some stabbing for sure. We're talking needles.
Right. The knitters have the bulkier needles, but the crochet ones are pretty sharp.
I'm wondering what Miss M is wondering, actually, is whether crocheting is
a meta thing in general.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a meta thing. Yeah. I don't really know. I mean, it seems, yes, like knitters do want to know how to crochet because there's a lot of like edging work that you can do with crocheting. And then crocheting is just, I mean, one time we had a little like hat making. This is like the most mom crap I'm ever going to say. But one time some ladies and I had a little hat making get together at a coffee shop to make hats for the homeless. Oh. And we were knitting and, you know, with a bulky yarn, like you can make a hat in a few hours. And this lady was crocheting and she made like five. in the time it took us.
Also, I think I know what side of the beef Shannon Kay is on, because she wrote, crochet uses hooks, not needles.
Right, touche. But there's a pointy side-ish. That's why knitting is better for the stabbing.
Yeah.
You need to stab bitches.
Yeah, you got to like gouge people with the hooks. You can't just do a nice, clean attack.
Now I'm going to be on the hunt for whether crocheting is a thing. I did buy a friend a very, very cutesy little crocheting, like you make little cactuses and stuff, like a kit. So maybe this is all part of that.
I feel like there's a confluence of things. I think balaclava is a thing.
Balaclava, though, is a thing, yeah.
Non-crochet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think crocheting is also a thing. And I think the crocheted balaclava is like the apex of those two things.
It's a total combination. And I love the idea. And I can totally see why balaclava would become a thing. Because now that we're getting used to, we're socializing this idea of covering our faces in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's going to evolve. Yeah. Into types of fashion.
Do you think it was everybody who bought balaclavas early in the pandemic and then realized that they were useless for protecting yourself was like, well, now what do I do with it? Well, I guess I could make it a fashion item.
I just did it for fashion.
I could crochet these safety pins onto it. That'd be kind of cool, right?
I really, by the way, enjoy the fact that the Discord is now just talking about ways to kill each other with these various implements.
Yeah, like how a crochet hook can hurt worse upon removal.
It started so crafty and it got so deadly.
It always does. It always does. People don't realize that about, you know, if you've never been involved in the craft world, that's
just you'd be amazed.
It's an old story.
You'd be amazed. My first thing today is a thing that my son turned me on to, and I did not believe him until I went and saw a bajillion of these videos. And then I'm irritated because I've had this in the bullpen for like 2 weeks, and now the Wall Street Journal wrote about it yesterday. I know. So I'm just saying we have a digital record of the fact that I already knew that Arc'teryx jackets, and specifically people showering in their Arc'teryx jackets on TikTok, is a total thing.
Okay, so Arc'teryx jacket's a thing. And then on top of that, doing a TikTok of yourself in the shower with your Arc'teryx jacket.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that the jackets only became a thing probably because all these little weirdos were just taking showers. And I'm like, I don't know. I assume that somebody from the company must have come up with this, but I don't know. According to the journal, the first video that they can find was posted in May of last year by this guy, Jason Allred, who lives in Salt Lake City. And he had just bought this $600 coat, the Alpha AR, in case you're wondering, and recorded a bunch of clips to get in the shower or in the shower. And then
he's just testing it out, right?
He's
fun,
just testing
fun
it out.
Way to do a TikTok where you're testing out your new purchase. I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how waterproof is this thing?
Uh-huh.
But then what's really gotten funny is that not only are there tons of them, but they're mainly just tons of people spoofing them. Which is hilarious. Like, so, a girl gets in the shower in just like a sweatshirt.
That is so great because it used to be like if you did something and then somebody else did a similar thing, it was a ripoff. But YouTube challenges and especially TikTok has gotten rid of that. Like when you do a similar thing, you're like extending the meme and or making fun of it in the sweater situation, right?
100%. Well, actually, it's true. One of the genius things about TikTok that encourages that kind of collaboration is the duet feature. Like, somebody does the Arc'teryx shower thing and you duet it and do a side by side of you either in your own Arc'teryx jacket or some other jacket. I've seen like lots of North Face ones that are like, it's good, guys. Or these funny ones where it's just someone in their sweatshirt being like, why isn't this working? You know, getting all drowned rat.
Also, I want to point out that the Arc'teryx jacket Jason Allred is wearing in the Wall Street Journal picture they show seems to have a built-in balaclava.
Oh, my goodness. Of course it does. Thing convergence.
A thing vergence.
Thing vergence. Yeah, I don't know. It won't surprise any of you to know that it made me want to buy one, but you could spend quite a lot of time on TikTok watching these videos, and they're pretty funny.
Well, my next thing is a thing in a corner of TikTok, food TikTok, food YouTube, that I think could or could not break out into the mainstream. I'm kind of guessing it will a little bit, though, and that's black sesame.
Black sesame is good.
As a flavor in lots of stuff. I'm not just talking about, oh, I put some black sesame on my rice in a restaurant dish. No, we're talking about like black sesame is a additive in a coffee or black sesame cheesecake or like just black sesame is having a moment. Exactly, Offie James. And black garlic, Offie James adds, which I think yes. is kind of riding along with it. You're right.
I have actually had like two or three different friends recommend black garlic to me, and that makes perfect sense that it's going along with black sesame.
Yeah, because they're complementary.
What is the difference? Like, what's the deal with black sesame?
Well, black sesame just has a little bit of a toastier flavor, but I think the reason that people are using it is because it looks cool. And my personal theory is that
hold on.
I'm sorry about my personal theory, dogs, but I just have to say what I have to say. My personal theory is that the Oreo craze reached into the boba milk tea world, which it did. And then the black sesame was like, hey, I kind of look like that. And so there was a visual similarity going on somewhere in there.
I could see that. And I'm only strategically muting because obviously there was like a drop off. Because
they're very upset about my personal theory.
They really are. They're just like, you know what? I'm not buying it at all. In fact, the real reason that we like it is because evidently it has some sort of major healing effects something.
Like with all these things, like once something starts to catch on, people look like, is this bad for me? And then they either find out it is or it isn't. And if it's not, then it's like, oh, but it's good for me. It has this. Or it becomes rationalization of, I really like this, so I want to find out that it's good for me. What is it good for?
There's something just like that I was looking up the other day, and I don't know what it was. Oh, I bought a ring, and the stone is malachite. And I was like, oh, yeah, I feel like from my days of being like into Wicca with my mom or whatever, that malachite is kind of, you know. So I looked it up and it was like, oh, yeah, malachite has all these healing properties.
Right.
And I was like, this is going to cure my COVID. That's why I bought it.
Confirmation bias confirmed.
Confirmation bias. Yay. I want some black sesame soup. This sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah. No, black sesame is everywhere. A lot of the YouTube food vloggers that we watch are throwing black sesame all around the apartment. It's in everything.
It's in everything. And it's like glitter. Once it starts, yeah. You just...
Why is there black sesame on your coat? Were you at a restaurant?
Love it. Love, love, love it. Can't wait to try some. I'm going to buy that black garlic too. I just saw some at the Korean market a couple of weeks ago and I was like, oh, I forgot to get it. But apparently you just slice that up and put it on salad just as is almost. And it's like sweet and jammy and garlicky.
We got black garlic during the earliest days of lockdown because garlic was hard to get. And I was like, well, maybe we could use black garlic, which bad idea. Not the same. Even though it's garlic, you can't replace regular white garlic with black garlic. Yeah. They're two different things, which I learned. But I wonder how many other people were like, well, I can't get regular garlic. Maybe I could try this.
When was at Porter is wondering when black sugar, when we talked about black sugar and whether that goes, I don't think it was 3 years ago, but
black sugar was a boba, is a boba thing too. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a total boba thing. Yeah. Oh, everything comes from boba. Apparently, I'm just about high-end shopping this week because I have gone from Arc'teryx to Audi.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with a handbag, but you went car.
I went car. Because as people in my circle know, I don't splurge on a lot of things except apparently occasionally cars.
Yeah, why not? You know, everybody's got a hobby.
Everybody's got a hobby. Some are dumber than others. But as you know, I have been a long time BMW person. I love them. I just have had a bunch of them. Like, it's just, I like them. And what I have noticed, and the Bay Area was like ground zero for like all kinds of salespeople and engineers in their 3 Series. And it's just BMW central.
Beamer culture.
Lately, of course, it's a lot more Tesla. But what I have noticed is that all of the people who I think used to be driving BMWs are now driving Audis. I think Audi is the new BMW.
I shouldn't say this makes me sad. That's just pretentious. But this makes me sad because we have an Audi. And I'm like, I always felt kind of like, oh, we've got an Audi. Like, not everybody has Audis.
It's true. It was like it was the Alterna luxury. Mm-hmm. Like BMW is so obvious and, you know, I'll own it. Kind of douchey. And Audi was...
It certainly had that reputation, whether it's deserved or not, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think Audi was the alternative. And it was like a little more Euro. I mean, the A3 hatchback, like that was just it's an awesome, cool European little car. And like they were known for those wagons from the like earlier 2000s. Mm-hmm, and then now I'm really sorry to report that I think they did become the cool alternative. And now everybody is getting
that. Always happens though, right? The cool band only you know about breaks through and becomes popular.
It's true.
And then now, you're like, man, I liked them when they weren't BMW.
I should say I liked them before they were BMW. I should say that they are, the numbers do not yet bear this out globally. So I looked it up and BMW was the biggest luxury car maker around the globe in 2021, just ahead of Mercedes-Benz, with Audi as a fast growing third. So Audi is in third place among those three. However, they said in 2021, its car overall sales was an increase of 57%.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Volkswagen.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was for fully electric vehicles.
Oh.
Yeah. Not over compared to BMW. However, Audi still, like, its sales overall are on the rise compared to those two, even though those two still outweigh. So you are still in the alternative camp, just not, but like,
not for long.
And not in the Bay Area. The Bay Area will just be like, oh, well,
also, our Audi is a 2011. So
nice.
We could always be like OG rolling, like, man, look at us. We got a 10-year-old Audi. We're cool.
See, but you are, though, because that's like the cool, like the Euro. When it looked more Euro.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the 2011 A5 classic Audi look.
I just got done with a little Audi e-tron loaner, which we will be talking about on the other show. And there'll be like a little YouTube video. So that's partly why I have this on my mind. But to be honest, I've had it on my like reminder list to self for several months. Because everywhere I look, I'm just like, oh yeah, look at that. I feel like it used to be all BMWs and Teslas. And now it's all Audis and Teslas.
Eileen has been on the fence about getting a new car. The idea was is that the Audi would roll down to me. I would get rid of the Honda and she would get a new car, but she's still not sure what she wants. I wonder if this news will sway her back into the Audi camp or not. Cause she was thinking about me. She was thinking about Mercedes. She was thinking about the hydrogen vehicle from Toyota for a little bit.
I know.
Bit.
I thought she was on to the Mirai. Yeah. Yeah.
But she hasn't pulled the trigger on any of them yet. So
I mean, yeah. Tell her to peep the e-tron because.
Okay. All right.
Do nice.
We'll do.
Pretty nice.
Let's get to more nice people sending us emails. Feedback at itsathing.me. As promised, we have an email from Mike on custom spirits. Last week, we talked about the idea of buying a barrel, meaning like you're buying liquor made by an existing company, but they bottle it for you. They take a barrel, bottle it for you, and maybe you do your own private label, all that stuff. Mike says, just finished this week's episode. On the custom spirits front, the small local cocktail bar here in my small town in Indiana went to a distillery and was able to pick a bourbon from the barrel they liked and then have it bottled with their logo. Since they have good taste, it was a very good bourbon, commonspirits.com. Thanks for keeping me in the know.
Yep. I think bars have definitely been doing like barrel tastings and, you know, buying their own so that they can do the custom thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It really, the fact that it has trickled over into wealthy consumers, I find super fascinating.
I like those kinds of bars when you can go in and say, give me a bourbon. And instead of like, if you don't specify, that means you get the welliest bourbon they have. but instead you like, oh, I want a bourbon. They're like, oh, we have a house barrel and that's what they pour. You don't have to specify. I love that.
So good. More emails on booze from Zach. Hey, Molly and Tom. He replied later, by the way, to add in producer Rich, which is why we can assume this email showed up in the lineup at all. Good save, Zach.
Good point.
Who says, I got a small 2-liter aging barrel a few years back and they're really fun to use. You can age all kinds of spirits or cocktails in there to give it a unique taste. In fact, a lot of fancy cocktail bars will usually have some kind of drink aged in one of those. I forgot which company mine was from, but there are multiple stores online. Here's one from the first hit on DuckDuckGo, redheadoakbarrels.com. And you can buy your own aging barrel for $60. He says, even though they're not cheap, they are a more affordable option than the one you mentioned. I want to remind everybody that the one we mentioned was like $8,000 to buy your own barrel of tequila.
Right. But that's like it was professional 240 bottles tequila, of tequila makers though. In the tequila business yeah. take a barrel they would otherwise sell on the open market and bottle it for you. So that's part of the deal. These, I actually bought this for my brother-in-law one year, a very small version of it. Yeah. And so you have to do the work yourself, right? But the work is like pouring the Everclear, you know, basically the you know, the raw alcohol into the barrel and then aging it. Like, it's not hard. And then you've got your own bourbon and you can decide there are certain levers you could pull to make it smokier or darker or lighter. I don't remember how that all worked anymore, but he loved it. He had a good time.
This is so cool.
Yeah.
And you can this is a great gift idea. Oh, it my God.
Really good. Really fun.
So smart. And they say that actually it's only a few weeks on the website. You get great color and flavor in only a few weeks when it usually takes the distillers years to get it. That's so cool. So you just buy some crappy liquor and put it in here and then it's so fancy. This is so smart. Everybody's thought of everything.
It's so good. So good. Wow. Tim emailed in with a definite sub thing, writes, "Hi, Molly and Tom." Rich still put it in though. Hi, Molly and Tom. The thing is, Wordle, which is pretty obvious at the moment. It was on the show last week. Although maybe. It might run out of steam within a month or two. However, if Wordle has staying power, then your Wordle first word might become a thing. I get what you're after, Tim. I always use the same first word in Wordle, and it strikes me that there is probably an algorithmic way of determining the best first words. Essentially, it would be the word with the greatest number of most commonly used letters in five-letter words. A quick search reveals that Wordle first words are being discussed in the Reddit Wordle forum. At the moment, I use tears as my first word, although I'm considering switching to teary. Do you use the same first word, and are you prepared to reveal it?
Oh my God, there are Wordle, like, cultures.
Oh yeah, the first word culture in Wordle is definitely a thing. Well spotted, Tim.
Wow, that's fantastic. I am going to confess here that partly due to the thing where I got COVID and just missed a week of life, basically, I still haven't played Wordle. And to be honest, all those little pictures that I see on the internet look really complicated. It just looks really hard. I don't know.
Oh, it's so easy. Yeah. No, do not think it's complicated. There are plenty of reasons not to play Wordle, but being complicated, I don't think would be one of them. It's easy to play. It might be like frustrating, like, I don't want to guess these words. Totally get that. But basically, you start with a word and it tells you which letters are in the right place or which letters you are in the word, but not in the right place. And then you go from there.
Look at that. Our whole Discord, Brian in Minneapolis, is like, slice is good. I like dares, great, beast, noise, later.
I often make up a word to start with.
You could do that?
Yeah. Well, you have to. You have to just make it. I mean, it has to be a dictionary word. I don't mean I make up a word that doesn't exist. Okay. I mean, today I guess I'm going to try darks and see how that goes. But if I'm feeling lazy, the word I go with to that I think I read somewhere algorithmically is a good one to start with is slate.
Oh, fascinating. All right. I'm going to have to try it.
Yeah. You got to get in on this.
I'm terrified, but I will. Well, also Jenny Josephson tweeted, there was a word game now in the world that was stressful. She's like, is this what we really needed? It's like stressful. And I was like, I'm out.
It can be stressful if you're not guessing the word, right? You can get stressed, but also you can only play it once a day. So the stress is minimized.
Very helpful. I love that there are subcultures. That's amazing. And then finally, a thing check from Yvonne in Reno. Hello, my favorite bearers of cheer. I'm seeking a thing check for nail polish manicures on he, him, his presenting folks, especially in ways that might read as masculine, like extra short nails with dark red polish or nails with shiny clear polish and black French tips. Have you noticed it? And honestly, it is fun to get a spiffy manicure at a nice salon. So I hope dudes feel increasingly free to participate.
I definitely feel like male presenting, he, him presenting folks, how'd you put it? He, him, his presenting folks getting nails done. It has increased. Like I definitely have. I've run across it in ways where it's not like a big joke. I don't know if it's a thing yet, but it might be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen, I will say, like, when did, was it 2 or 3 years ago, we nailed nail culture? Mm-hmm. So everybody's getting damn manicures. That is, there's no doubt about that at all. And so it doesn't surprise me at all to know that there's like a, an offshoot that is basically like manly manicure.
When you go in for the male manicure, there might be a point where you're like, you know what? Just put a little polish on there. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, let's do something sort of masculine. You can give me a red on the, No, I can see that just being a natural outcome of that for sure.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be on the lookout for it when I leave the house again.
Ooh, good one. West Bay Stars points out that baseball catchers often will do nail polish to make sure that the, when they put the signs down, that their fingers show up more.
Oh yeah. I have seen that. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yep. The really bright colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good one. Good one. I love it. Normalize the manicure for all.
Exactly. If you want to do it, do it. Don't feel pressured. But there should be no reason you don't do it if you don't want, if you want to. Go for
it. Exactly. But send us pictures if you do.
Please do.
All right. On to our favorite part of the show, the shout outs, which of course are custom prepared every single week for the patrons who support us at the shout out level at patreon.com/itsathing. You get your very own custom crafted shout out, which I just said. Today's are based on trivia about, appropriately enough, since we spent the pre-show talking about Muppets and Wiggles, based on trivia about Jeff Wiggle from Wigglepedia.
Yes. Sometimes you get based on French Revolutionary era facts. Sometimes you get Wigglepedia.
You just never know what's going to come from the fevered mind of producer Rich.
I will kick us off with the following fact based on trivia about Jeff Wiggle from Wigglepedia. Mike Akins is the oldest patron of the original generation.
Huh. Out of the original generation, David Grizzly Smith sings the least.
Morris Jones is the shortest and skinniest male patron.
Benjamin Forrest is the only patron who isn't married, engaged, or in any romantic relationship.
Lee Price is the very first driver of the big red car.
Kevin Sill is the only patron who never played the Red Starry guitar.
Eric Duncan's favorite keyboard is the Red Starry keyboard.
Jake Woods likes sleeping at odd times. Mm.
Gabriel Cohen is currently the only patron not clad in the yellow skivvy to drive the big red car.
These sound like baseball stats, by the way.
Right.
As shown in Surfer Miranda, Miranda Janelle is a keen surfer.
Mm. In Space Dancing, Andrew Bradley told Tom, Molly, and Rich that he reckons he can sleep anywhere.
Joe Hood shares a birthday with Ryan Yates.
Louis St. Amour narrates the book Go to Sleep, Louis, a bedtime story.
In Spanish, James C. Smith is voiced by Pablo Saya.
I had no idea that James C. Smith was voiced by Pablo Saya. That's
incredible. He's got his own. He's got his own.
Also, I had no idea that there would be this many different facts about Jeff Wiggle that could be adapted to our patrons.
I didn't know there was a Wigglepedia. I have learned a lot here today. Facts.
Ah, indeed. Indeed. Well, folks, if you would like to be turned into a wiggle fact or something even more fun, by all means, become a patron.
That's right. Patreon.com/itsathing. You will also get access to cool stuff like our Discord and an ad-free RSS feed and, you know, some bonus content.
You can also email us. Don't forget that email. Say it along with me. Feedback. At itsathing.me. Yeah.
Yay. We have no idea if we're in sync. Because no, we're not. Internet. See you next week.
Bye.
I'm speaking lies. Politicians.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.